welcome to Preach the Word with Brother Dean Carmichael of Greensboro. And now let's welcome our dear friend, Brother Dean.
All right, so our main text today is in Romans chapter number 14, verse 19 through 23. But first I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. We're going to look at that one word, edify, and the title of the sermon is Be an Edifier. Be an edifier. Be someone who edifies others. The word edify in the Webster Dictionary is defined as one who it means to instruct, to improve, especially in moral and religious knowledge, to uplift, to enlighten, to inform. So when you focus on those words, instruct, improve, uplift, enlighten, inform, you think of the job of a coach. A coach determines the success of an athlete. Without a good coach, a team is going to crumble. The only way to have a dynasty, if you will, a team that is successful year over year over year, it falls back on the coaching staff. And the best way to build chemistry on any team is by having good player-coach relationships. Now, there are 7 tips to build a player-coach relationship, and this is found on traceup.com. And I'm going to read these to you, and then I'm just going to kind of comment on each of those. But first of all, create goals, use video, pay attention to body language, talk with your players, not to your players, listen more, repeat important messages, and be honest and encouraging. Those are 7 tips to build a player-coach relationship from traceup.com. Now, just to comment on those real quick, creating goals, especially if you have a younger team, you never want to see one of those middle school coaches who only wants to win. That's their only goal, is to win. You know, it's about developing young men and women. So creating goals, this is more than just winning. This is about a long-term goal. This is about developing people. Using video, this is talking about communicating your ideas clearly. You know, a video, it provides new insight. It provides perspective. Pay attention to body language. If you raise children, you know this. If you've ever coached before, you know this. But people are different. Their body language is extremely important. When a person is upset, when morale is down, when a person is defeated, whatever it may be, a body language really says a lot about a person. And you can't be oblivious to body language. You can't turn a blind eye to things like that. You have to be very intuitive. Talk with your players, not to your players. This is extremely important. This goes to just not only a coach, but also a teacher, a mentor, a parent, whoever it may be. Talking with someone is so much more important than talking to them. Lecturing is one thing. Telling somebody it is what it is and then going on, all of that is going through the motions, but talking with someone is extremely important. Listen more. So listening, this goes to just the fundamentals of any relationship. If you're going to have a friendship with someone, you need to learn how to listen. A lot of those people that wait for their turn to talk or will just interrupt you, those are folks that are, they don't have many friends. It's hard for them to go beyond anything beyond an acquaintance. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You got to learn to listen. Repeat important messages. That is something that you need to make sure that your big things are being talked about, communicated clearly, and then be honest and encouraging. Those are all tips to build a player-coach relationship. And well, that's extremely important. So one thing about it is this is a two-way street. So when we're talking about coaching here, we're using coaching as an analogy for edification. It's not just up to the coach. The players must be coachable. You got to have players that'll listen. You got to have athletes that will remember the goal, that will ask questions, won't have excuses, will keep their ego in check, will be willing to learn, not only from the coach, but also from people on the team, that they'll seek constructive criticism. When you have this, when you have all of these things, you have harmony, you have agreement. The player-coach analogy is so great because we must be both of those as believers. We're not only using the athlete analogy, but also the coach analogy, because not only are we to strive for a goal, not only are we, like an athlete, to be disciplined and have direction and try to obtain a crown, and though our crown is not corruptible, we're striving to achieve that incorruptible crown and to ultimately give all to the glory of Christ Jesus, but we're also to edify one another. Just what a coach does to a player, that's what we're supposed to do to one another. You think of 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 27. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 27, talking about an athlete, talking about a wonderful analogy here. Actually, verse 24 through 27, "Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it unto subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now, Paul's talking about an athlete there. We're to aim for a prize. Therefore, we must live a life of discipline and a life of direction. Our crown is not the corruptible crown, but the incorruptible, which means we're not only to ensure that we achieve the goals, but that our brothers and sisters in Christ do as well. We're to have the role of the athlete and the coach. We're to edify one another, which means that we also need others to edify us. I need to edify you. You need to edify me. We edify one another. Accountability is a wonderful thing. But something about accountability that so many people don't think about is the word ownership, the word empowerment. Those things are extremely important when it comes to edification, because we are holding each other accountable. We are edifying one another. The edification process is not me holding you accountable and just feeling good about it. The edification process is me holding you accountable while also taking ownership for my own actions. Therefore, when you hold me accountable, I can take that criticism, and iron can sharpen iron, and there's progress. So what does it mean to edify? What does it mean to edify? Three things that we could say is a good definition for edification. First of all, to edify means to inform. To edify means to inform. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." What does it mean to edify? Number one, it means to inform. We cannot just hear, we must tell. Lost people, saved people, everyone needs to hear what you know that God has revealed to you through His Word. You need to tell others. We need to inform folks, A, the gospel, how to be saved, but B, those that are saved need to learn how to grow. This isn't a competition to where I learn something that's valuable to me so I keep it to myself so I can get all the glory. That's not how this is supposed to work at all. I am to take what I have learned, and not only am I to grow from that, I'm to share that with others. We're to inform one another. Number two, edify means to instruct. Now listen to these words very carefully. Here we have in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, in verse number 16. Listen to all these words. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. To edify means to instruct. Now, it's extremely important that always goes back to the Word of God. We're not instructing people on our life, our personal experiences. We're not instructing others on our opinions. We are giving instruction that goes back to the Word of God. We live it, we learn it, and then we instruct others in it. And then last of all, what does it mean to edify? You inform, you instruct, then you improve. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 16. Now this is something that's extremely important, because not only should there be this informing and instructing, but this improving is extremely important. The word progress is a word that I used earlier. Now, I want you to, we've talked about a coach. Let's talk about a trainer for a minute. Let's say that you have joined a gym, or maybe you're the trainer in a gym, and you have been given a person that you're training, and that individual has been with you for a year. Let's say when they started out, they were 205 pounds and they had 30% body fat. And in a year's time, they were 206 pounds with 29% body fat. Well, that's not a lot of progress, is it? Now, let's say at a year's time, they had dropped 10 pounds and they were down to 24% body fat. Well, okay, that might not be the best, but there is some progress there. Okay, and you could as a trainer, as a coach, if you will, you could reevaluate that, and as a person who is striving to achieve a goal, maybe your goal is to lose 20 pounds. Maybe your goal was to lose that 10 pounds and drop down, you know, a little bit of a body percent body fat. Either way, not to go too deep into that analogy, but either way, there needs to be progress, okay? As a child of God, as a follower of Jesus Christ, my question to you is, since you first responded in faith and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you were created, you were a new creature, you are a new creation, is what I'm trying to say. And you have been following the Lord Jesus Christ. My question is, has there been any progress? Are you a different Christian than you were 5 years ago? Are you more mature than you were 6 months ago? The answer to both of those questions should be yes. And if it's not, that is where edification comes in. There must be improvement. There must be progress. Okay? This is not just, we don't determine success by numbers, by statistics. You'll hear a lot of people say, just look at the fruit. Just look at the fruit. And they may have a bunch of professions. They may have big crowds. But a lot of those things will dwindle away. A lot of those things over time, even if they don't dwindle away in number, they don't have any substance. They don't have any depth to them. Okay. The question is, has there been any progress? Has there been any maturity? Okay. Has there been a putting off of sinful practices? Has there been an increase of knowledge in the Word of God? Is there evidence of a spiritual mind? Is there evidence of a life with Jesus Christ? If someone were to ask you, what is your life with Jesus like? Or if someone were to just start talking to you about Christ and about the Bible, are you spiritually minded enough where you would have to flip on a switch or put on a persona to somewhat talk with that person? Or could you immediately, right where you were, begin to talk to that person about where you are in your relationship with Christ? So there's got to be progress. So talking about edification here, now when you come to Romans chapter number 14, the theme here is harmony in the church. The theme of Romans 14 is you're really the weak and the strong. So Christian principles and practices are encouraged here in Romans 14. And I want to outline just real quick. This is the J. Vernon McGee outline through the Bible that he used. And he divides it up into three parts. You have doctrine in chapters 1 through 8, dispensation in chapters 9 through 11, and duty in chapter 12 through 16, which is a phenomenal way to outline this book. Now, this is very typical of Paul. We see him use this pattern of doctrine. He'll do doctrine, and then he'll do application. So chapters 12 through 16 touch on our service and our relationships. So what should our relationships be with God? Our spiritual gifts, other Christians. What are our relationships with non-believers, with government? How to conduct ourselves with our neighbors, etc. So we're to live holy and separate lives, but to do it in a way that strengthens others. So we come here to Romans chapter number 14, and we're gonna be in all the remainder of the chapters, verse 19 through 23. But three ways to be an edifier. Three ways to be an edifier. An edifier, you want to be an edifier. I want to talk to you, what are three ways you can edify someone? I want to highlight three things that we should not be. Okay, so you want to be an edifier. Number one, be an edifier, not a destroyer. Okay, so how do you be an edifier? By not destroying. Now, when I say the word destroy, I'm referring to a stumbling block. Let's read verses 19 through 21 in Romans chapter number 14. You can just listen along with me as I read these verses. But Romans 14, look at verse number 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Now, verse 19 through 21, that is, first of all, be an edifier, not a destroyer. Be an edifier, not a destroyer. These verses were talking about how, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And then in verse 20 it says, for meat destroy not the work of God, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Now, we're talking about Christian liberty here. This is, again, this is not doctrine as far as the doctrine of salvation. This is now, we're getting into the part of how we're to live. This is how we're to live among other believers, how we are to edify each other, but in a way that we live peacefully among each other. You don't edify fellow believers by tearing them down. You don't edify other believers by being really tough on them, and then by you being mean, you're toughening them up and helping them for later. That's not how that works. We're to live in peace. We're to be kind to each other. We're to love one another. Now, not a destroyer. That is referring to someone who is a stumbling block. So let's say that these illustrations that are given here, these examples that are given here, is meat and wine. You think about the instance where they were offering meat up. They were there at the temple for false idols, and there were certain Christians who didn't want to eat it because that meat was being offered up. Whereas more mature Christians were like, "Look, it is what it is. It's not we're not sacrificing to idols. We're just eating meat." However, those more mature Christians don't want to do anything that would cause the younger Christians to stumble. Okay, remember, we're talking about edification here. If you truly want to edify the brethren, you don't want to do anything that would cause them to stumble. You don't want to do something that a person who maybe has a conviction against something. It's not in the Bible. It's a gray area. But this Christian just says, hey, I don't listen to any type of music that is not spiritual music. Well, you may have some music that you listen to, and there's nothing sinful in that music. And it is, honestly, it's just a song that talks about family and love, and there's nothing sinful at all. However, this new believer, they may be convicted, and maybe they feel that, you know, that type of music, the beat or whatever it is, just it reminds them of other type of music, whatever it may be, and honestly, they just don't agree with it. Well, it would be a stumbling block to play that music around that believer. It would be a stumbling block to do anything that would cause another brother to sin. That's why Paul said to leave that meat alone when you're around those other Christians. So be an edifier, not a destroyer. Don't destroy relationships. Don't destroy culture. Don't destroy, or in other words, don't grieve or quench the Holy Spirit of God. Don't do anything that would cause envying and strife within the church, within other believers' hearts. That's extremely important. We want to edify each other. We don't want to say anything. Even if what I'm trying to say is, we got to be careful what we say. We wouldn't even want to say something that would cause someone to want to gossip or try to fish for information. Or we got to be really careful with that. Number two, be an edifier, not a distressor. Okay, so destroyer is referring to an individual who is a stumbling block. A distressor is referring to an individual who's constantly living in regret, living in shame. Okay, we cannot edify others if we're living in constant distress, constant anxiety, sorrow, pain. Look here in verse number 22. It says, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth." So, if it's in the Bible, obviously, if it's in the Bible, we need to obey it. If it's in our heart, let's say it's one of those gray areas, and you feel convicted about something, and you feel that the Holy Spirit of God is drawing you from that. You may not be sinning, but God is leading you away from that, okay? Well, you need to listen to him. You need to try the spirits, as the Bible says, but you need to yield to the Holy Spirit of God, and you need to turn away from that. There may be some Christians who have liberty. They can do it. It's a gray area, but let's say, just talking about like a streaming service. Maybe there's a streaming service that you just say, you know what? I'm done with those because I'm afraid that there's too much unfiltered stuff on there, and it would lead me into fornication. It would lead me into looking at sexual content, erotic content, and it's unfiltered. You can watch, you know, you have an entire streaming service, and you can just watch anything you want to, and there's just nudity, and there's all this stuff in there. And me personally, I just have a conviction that I shouldn't have any streaming services. And anytime I have a streaming service, I just feel bad about it, and I feel like God is wanting me to get rid of that. Well, by all means, if you've prayed about that, and you feel that's the Holy Spirit of God leading you away from that, then do that. Do that. That's extremely important. Don't live in regret on that. If God's telling you not to go to certain places because it's leading you to some type of sin, do that. That's why having a close walk with Jesus is so important. All right. We don't want to do anything that would cause a brother to stumble. But B, if God is leading us away from something, we need to listen to him. You know, of course, try the spirits and make sure that's of God. But you want to live in obedience to him. And here's another thing. If you have repented of a sin and you've turned away from that, trust God that he's forgiven you. Don't live in shame and guilt of something you've already repented of. But also, you don't want to live in shame and guilt in something that God's trying to get you out of, and you're wrestling with that and wrestling with that and wrestling with that. Because I have some bad news for you. While you're wrestling with that, and while you're just you're miserable, you're not going to be able to edify and help other believers. It's going to be hard for you. And then last of all, be an edifier, not a doubter. And look at verse number 23. It says, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, two words that make a lot of people nervous is the word doubt and the word damned. So remember, here I'm no Bible scholar, but please understand something. This is a basic biblical principle here. Always look at the context. Who is Paul talking to? He's talking to the church. What is he talking about? He's talking about Christian liberty. He's talking about the relationship with weaker Christians. He's talking about how we are to conduct ourselves, our duty as believers. Okay, so this is talking about, in Romans 14, verse 23, this is talking about how whatever is not of faith is sin. Okay, so a doubter, this is someone who's like a non-believer, a cynic, a skeptic, a pessimist, however you want to define that. Now, I want to quote here St. Gregory of Nyssa, and he says, "Every word or deed or thought which does not look to Christ looks completely to the adversary of Christ, for it is not possible for what is outside of light or life not to be completely in darkness or death. The person outside of Christ rejects him by what he thinks, does, or says." That's St. Gregory of Nyssa. Now, one who relies on anything other than Christ cannot edify others. Now, what do I mean by that? In order to be saved, we need to have faith in who? The Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same way with service. In order to truly serve God, we have to have faith. In order to live the Christian life, you have to have faith. If you're doing it out of an obligation, if you're doing it as a skeptic or as a doubter, someone you don't even know why you do it, but you're doing it, and you're in this bondage, and you're just living this life of abiding by all these rules you don't understand, and is your heart's not in it, you're not truly believing, you're not doing it out of love for God, you're not doing it out of obedience, you're not doing it because you love Christ and you want to follow Him. You're doing it because you have to, and you're doubting it, and you're just you don't even know why you're doing it. It's not out of faith. Well, that's sin. Okay, whatever is not of faith is sin. Okay, now that's Bible. Now, if we're going to edify other believers, we have to live the Christian life by faith. Everything that we do, the way we live, the places we go, the things we watch, we want to conduct ourselves, and our daily conduct must be by faith in Christ. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. That's we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. He matures us in the Word of God. He directs us. He leads us. He guides us. We need to yield to Him every day. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. As Paul said, He dies daily. Turn away from the flesh. Turn away. Die to your flesh daily and submit yourself completely. And realize that you want to edify others. You want to live by faith. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you're doing something just to do it, or if you're not doing something because you're not willing to give that up, and you're trying to reason with yourself, saying, "Hey, why should I stop listening to this or stop watching this?" Or it's not a sin. I know so and so; he's a Christian and he still does it. You try to do that human reasoning and all that. Listen very, very plainly. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Hey, we're to do that. We're to believe what we're doing. We're to put our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, for our salvation, but we're talking about service here. In our service, we're to believe we are doing something. Just to summarize all this up, we're to believe that we live the way that we live because, A, it's in God's Word and He's commanded us to do it, and B, as mature believers who are yielding to the Holy Spirit of God and letting Him lead us and guide us, He has convicted us and given us a personal conviction not to do, not to say, or not to go certain places or watch certain things. And we do that out of faith. We do that because we believe God is doing it. Of course, we try the spirits, as I mentioned earlier, and we go to our Bible and we make these matters of prayer, but we do it out of faith. You never want to do it as just a vain repetition or just a way of being religious. Well, that's how we edify. Be an edifier, not a destroyer, not a distressor, and not a doubter. I hope this was a blessing to you. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
Thank you for listening to Preach the Word with Brother Dean Carmichael from Greensboro. You can email Brother Dean, preachtheword87@outlook.com. preachtheword87@outlook.com. You also can follow our dear friend Brother Dean Carmichael on Facebook, facebook.com/DeanCarmichaelJr.